All right.
You seen it before, to resume? Okay, so Matthew 5:48, Jesus says, "Be holy even as your heavenly Father is holy." Right? The subject of tonight is becoming a saint. Right? So that's a high standard there. That's what we're trying to do. Basically, be as loving as he is loving. With charity, love, encompasses all the others, right? All the virtues that pertain to that.
This room bothers me. I don't know where to stand.
I don't like to stand. I move around.
Okay, so the purpose of your life, right, is to get to heaven. Right? That's why you were made.
Cool.
Right. And so that needs to be your focus always, right? So the happiness of heaven, as you get there, is both secure and eternal. So once you're there, you're in, right? And today, so you've had theology about God and his actions, talked about the commandments, the rules for the narrow road to get there, the sacraments, the aids along the road, and then prayer, keeping God in sight. Okay. So tonight we're just going to talk about becoming a saint, which means becoming holy, basically. And I think that all of you are probably pretty well on that road. Calvin House will stay on that road, right? So that's not good, right? I think you bought the table in darn place. Okay. Do I block you?
No, you're good.
Okay. So this is what John, you're following Christ, the same thing, okay? That's the narrow road. I had a long discussion with priests about, several priests about, are many saved or few saved, right? In fact, Christian Farron got criticized because he kind of implied that everybody's saved eventually. Right. Right. But he didn't say that, but he said we can hope that that happens. Right? In fact, the worst part is that we can reasonably hope. I think we can hope that. In fact, we're really bad if we hope that people go to hell, right? That's a sin, okay? We don't want to do that. Okay, so we can definitely hope that everybody goes to heaven. And everybody has gone to heaven, but I'm not sure it's reasonable or not. That's pretty good. Got criticized for that stuff. But if you read through Scripture, Father Mercer, who was at St. Timothy's, once gave a homily on all the places in the Bible that says that few are saved. Okay. And quite frankly, that was a great motivator for me. I listened to that and thought, I better get working. That had a big impact on me. Somebody tried to get a copy of it, and he said, oh, I never wrote down any of my homilies. I just memorized everything. So he had no way of reproducing them. Right? It was a great, great homily, brilliant homily, important one. So the thing about this, leading a saintly life is not full. Okay? You know, you can't just go through life and say, okay, I'll be saved that way. Right? God will take care of me. Okay? You've got to be conscious about it. My little diagram there is a guy running, has to get the momentum to get over that gap so he doesn't fall down into hell and makes it over to where Jesus is. That's the diagram we use for the kids. Father Thomas Morrow has a lot of good spiritual direction and good person to follow. And his advice on this business of how to become a saint is make a specific plan, okay? And then be consistent in following the plan. So, consistency, okay? How can I become consistent? Well, some of us can do it just by our self-discipline, okay? We're so used to being, okay? But sometimes it is a big help to have be with other people. Okay. For example, these are just some organizations that do it. You can do it on your own. That's number 5 down there. Okay.
One is the Corsair de Cristianidad, which is something that I could influence on people, frankly. Their whole program, there's a program of each of these. It involves piety, study, and action. That's what we'll talk about tonight. And the big thing is there's accountability in it. Lisa and Mary, which I belong to, the same kind of thing, same accountability, where you come back and meet with everybody, and then you talk about how you've done with your plan, basically. Not by way of confession, but just to reinforce each other. Then a lot of the religious orders have third orders, Franciscan Third Order, Franciscan Dominicans, Carmelites, and Benedictines. Others are the Jesuits, okay? You think they're Jesuits societies. I don't think they have a third order, but I know of. Opus Dei is another organization that has it. Then the parish groups here. Okay? If you find out about parish groups, I don't know how much you've talked about them here already, but if you take a bulletin and you look at all the contacts, okay, you'll see all the different groups. Unfortunately, it doesn't tell you what the groups do. Have you talked about that in here?
I'm sorry.
What about all the little groups, the organizations in the our parish?
Yeah. We went through some of that last week.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Good. Senior.
Good. So those are support groups. Okay. So help you follow your plan. Right? Okay. If you can do it, you're strong enough to do it on your own. But that's not as much fun. If we just use like the Corsair or the Legion ideas, okay, there are three legs of daily routine that they use, which I think is very useful. Look at piety, study, and action. Okay, piety, praying as a habit. So when you make a plan, okay, plan on you know, when you're going to pray and then follow it. Okay, you practice the ongoing presence of God. Okay, we think of it all the time. The short prayers, I don't know, aspirations, we talked about that in here or not. There are many aspirations, very short prayers, like the Jesus prayer and things, that you can use during the day. Okay? You know, God help me. Okay, that's a good one. Okay, you can all remember that one. You can invoke that. Okay? That keeps you conscious of your relationship with God. And your whole idea of fighting is learning to love God. Actually, you know, the more you love God, the more you'll love others, other people. So if you focus on loving God, the rest is going to fall in place. Okay. I'm going to go in more detail on all these. Okay, studying. Okay, you're trying to know God. You can't love somebody you don't know, right? So you need to be studying about him. Get the knowledge of God. And then being, through action, a good example, reaching out to other people. You guys are in a position to really share your faith, okay? Just tell people, I became a Catholic this year. And you'll get all kinds of good comments and bad comments and attacks. Okay. Okay, let's look at piety a little more. Father Michael Mueller passed this book over here, Prayer to Keep Salvation, which I strongly recommend. Okay, that you can imagine how important you think prayer is. He said his subtitle is The Key to Salvation. He points out how necessary the conversation with God is. Where you talk to God, and of course he responds to you through the scriptures, the homilies, through the church is giving you. Okay? And the big thing is, of course, thy will be done. That's your whole idea, is you want God's will to be done. Not mine. You want his will to be done. So, plan for the day. This whole thing is pray without ceasing. That means using his good aspirations, invoking God as you go along, asking for help during the day. Okay. So you start off with the morning offering. I don't know if we've covered that prayer in here or not, but that's a great prayer to start. There's several versions of it. That's basically the day's plan. The aspirations I'm talking about. The nightly examiner, at the end of the day, you look at my plan is this. Okay. What am I going to do? How did I do today? Did I follow my plan? Did I fulfill it? Okay. And then the nightly prayer, the act of contrition. We're told that going to sleep is practicing for death. Okay. So you really don't know if you're going to wake up in the morning. So, especially at my age.
So you want to make sure that when you, if you do die that night, that you want to tell God you're sorry before you get there. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, you know how busy she was, right? Founding all the different continents all around the world and speaking and all that, right? Prayed 3 hours a day. That's a good model for your plan. How could you do that? Okay, 3 hours a day. So we wake up, we say the morning offering, pray the Holy Spirit, guardian angel, things like that. One awakening, that's 15 minutes there, a quarter of an hour. Right? Driving to work. Drive to work for an hour. If you go down to TC, it's probably been an hour. Right? Or taking the bus even. You can pray the liturgy, you go on Mercy Chapel, you can just talk to God. Don't worry about that. I had my own business. One of my my most profitable contract that I had. It was a fixed price contract, so all I did was complete it, right? I did the whole thing on the bus going into DC and back. Worked on another, had a job down there, consulting job down there. And going down to that consulting job, all the time on the bus, I worked on this other contract. and so I actually spent no time at home doing that contract. It was all useful bus ride. Okay, well, you can use that useful bus ride for praying. Okay. In that kind of situation. It's worthwhile there, of course, to memorize it. Memorize the prayers so you can say the Virgin and Divine Mercy Chapel, for example. But you also listen to Catholic radio. There are a couple stations that have Catholic radio. Then driving home for more, that's another hour. Right? Evening, you should do some spiritual reading, 30 minutes, the Bible, other things. Okay? And then the night prayers, examination, conscience, life, and nutrition. That ups to 3 hours. The big sacrifice there is this 1 hour driving. Okay, that means no news, no music, no right, no commentaries. Right? You always, okay, that's what you give up. Okay, but that's a useful sacrifice. I don't know about you, but I get my news over the internet. The commentaries take too long. Okay, you listen to a whole bunch of things and get 1 point. Right. But I get on the internet and I can, you know, get summary of the news. Things. What's called Catholic Vogue? I don't know if you've seen that or not. That's primarily where I get my news. It's the news from a Catholic point of view. Very good, very concise. And you can read further if you want to. So I don't get newspapers, I don't get. Don't listen to music, radio, or TV. Okay. Now, what are those people like to retire? Okay. They didn't drive. Okay. Before we go back and work mass, okay, so then at mass. But I also do the literacy hours. That's a good prayer to use. Okay. So, you use that at night and bring you back to that. That's good spiritual reading. Okay. So that's basically, that's more or less what I do. I try to get the 3 hours together. Talk about contemplation here. They did last year, I know.
I don't think we went into it very deeply, but I think we touched on it.
Contemplation is like the highest form of prayer, when you really are, you're totally involved with God, totally engrossed with Him. Okay. St. Teresa of Avila said that all of us can get to that point. Right? You can't prove it by me. I've never gotten to that point. So when we pray and God responds, okay, well, some people like Moses and St. Catherine and St. Thomas Aquinas got direct revelations, others have too. I don't think count that. But St. Teresa of Avila said everybody can achieve contemplation. Okay. One way, to think about that or to look for that,
is looking at masses as a place of high point. This is a little chart here of how close you are to God. Okay. So this is your weekday. You've got all your businesses on earth and up at that point along here. Okay. But all the while, it's getting closer and closer because you keep thinking about Sunday Mass. I'll be united with Christ physically. Okay. Sunday Mass. So that's the high point. And that's what you should be anticipating throughout the week. Okay. Daily Mass is different. At least it is for me. The daily Mass is more God and me by myself. Okay. I mean, yeah, there are 40 people there, but we all sit far apart, and you know, it's not a big social thing. Okay. Sunday Mass is a big celebration. It's like the big birthday party. Yay. Okay. And we're all together celebrating together. Okay. So that you look forward to. I do recommend going to the daily Mass sometime, like go to the Saturday Mass. Okay. And see that. How that did. So it's good to have, you might say, a prayer partner. For those who are married, the spouse is a good prayer partner. if you don't know if you talk about indulgences in here or not, but one way of getting a plenary indulgence is to pray in a pious society. Okay. Well, your family should be in a pious society. So that means that if you and your spouse pray together, okay, you get a plenary indulgence. That's the remission of all your temporal punishment. You have to do confession, communion, and those things. But I mean, the act that you need to get that is so. United with others, right? Especially at Mass, especially Sunday Mass. Okay. Then your partners can be the saints. Okay, your patron saint, you've got confirmation or your baptism. Okay. Especially the Blessed Mother. Okay. Well, especially the Blessed Mother. Saint Mother Teresa, kind of said, no Mary, no Jesus. Just think of that. So you need the Blessed Mother to be praying and asking the Blessed Mother for favors and to pray for you. That's what you're doing. Remember, she can't do anything. But God does the thing. But you can ask her for her prayers. So she asks God to help you. That's the sequence that goes. And if you really want to get deep in the contact with the Blessed Mother, St. Louis de Montfort's True Devotion to Mary is a good book. I don't recommend starting there. It's a very strong commitment to the Blessed Mother, and you probably were thinking, that's subtracting from my relationship with Jesus. Okay, so you have to wait, but eventually that's a good book to read, a really good book to read. So this is again part of the title, but that study there. But, and so that Mother Teresa said, no Mary, no Jesus. Maximilian Kolbe said, without sacrifice, there's no love. We're trying to love God. Okay. So it's important to sacrifice for that God. There's a passive sacrifice, it's like you can get sick. Okay. Get all kinds of hardships, you feel at work, and all that kind of stuff. Okay. In my case, it's of my age and dead. Okay, I lose things all the time. And I'm constantly praying to St. Anthony. This is the St. Anthony little thing. St. Anthony, come around. Something's lost and cannot be found. Okay, that's a prayer that I use pretty frequently. Like for my glasses, my phone, just that. So those are passive ones. These are ones that God asks you, okay, to sacrifice. Illness. Or hurting yourself. Again, according to my age, one of the things that I do is I drop things, knock things off the table and stuff like that. I've gotten to the point when it falls down and I just laugh. I said, okay, God, then we actually sacrifice. When we sacrifice for Lent, okay, we're offering
the self-denial to God as a sacrifice, that will make you love God more. Okay? It's in the same way that parents sacrifice themselves for their children. That makes them love their children better. Okay? You know, it's natural, right? When you're courting, okay, you sacrifice for your intended, okay? Or, you know, when you're married, you sacrifice for each other. That's about the same. Okay, and all that makes you love more. If you didn't do that, you would lose the love. So in Lent, and National Family Plan is a big, that's a sacrifice, okay? You're giving up sex for certain times, okay? You know, like a week or two out of the month, okay? And you offer that to God. That will bring you closer to God. And actually, because loving God makes you love others, it also makes you love your spouse more. Father Gould, the young man who I knew very well, this advice, he was thinking about going into the priesthood, and he said, okay, if you need to sacrifice your God, you will be a priest. So find the thing that you're most attached to and sacrifice it. Give it up. And when this young man told me that, I said, that would be my wife. he said he didn't mean that kind of thing. That young man is now a priest. Our guys, okay. He did give up what he was attached to, and he became a priest. Okay. Sacrifice it for God, he gave his life to God. Okay, so God responds, right, to our prayers. Okay, through Mass, okay, through Scripture, through the words of the prayers, the homily. This is true if you do the Liturgy of the Hours, you do it frequently. In the reading of that, you'll see the answers to your prayers. Then the words of the vocal prayers. You say, like, the Hail Mary and all, kind of routinely, but if you think about those words, okay, you'll see that you know, the Hail Mary is the word petition, but the first part of it was really praising God. The Psalms, are, of course, prayers that are inspired by God. I'd like to know the background of them, so you should try to find out what the background. Who wrote it, and what are the circumstances? That is making the Psalms really better for me. Then just talk to the whole people. I always think of the saint. Saint Sophia's brother is Saint Benedict. Anyway, there's a little thing just before she died. They got together and they spent the whole night talking about God. Okay. What's that like to spend there? You know, 12 hours. What did they talk about? They're both saints now, right? And that was the night she died. When she prayed. He came to visit her in her convent, and so it got late. So I need to get back to my cell. And so she was just silent about it. Suddenly the storm came, and he couldn't get back to his cell. You know the story? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He couldn't get back to his cell. Okay. And he said, "What did you do?" She said, "Well, you wouldn't stay here with me, you know, when I asked you to. So I asked God to have you." And that was when he got back to the cell the next day. He saw a dove fly out from her cell, and he thought that was her soul because she really died. The priest talked about it. They had, you know, 12 hours of conversation. I can't imagine doing that. And God responds in books, a lot of the books. I like this book, In Conversation with God, by Francis Fernandez. There are many books that call it In Conversation with God, but this one has a daily reading. By the way, all these references are in the handout. Okay? That I think is just fantastic. I think I'm going through it for the 10th time right now. We have had it for 10 years, I'm sure. So it's a daily meditation that takes about 10 minutes to read. That is excellent advice. And then just be aware of God's action throughout the day. So,
I changed the format somehow or other. What did I do? God responds in a lot of ways like that. There are times when God doesn't respond, right? Or doesn't seem to respond, okay. That's a problem. In other words, you're spiritual dryness, okay? You can't concentrate. It gets harder when you're cold, distracted, it gets harder when you're cold, okay? Okay. Or no feeling, okay? Well, it's no feeling with the spiritual. The directors will tell you, that's okay, because when it's just feeling, that then it's easy for you to pray. And if there's no feeling, you have to put more work into it. You really have to concentrate. Okay? And therefore, it's actually more meritorious. Because you're really working at it, right? Okay. So jai doesn't mean distant, it just means that it's hard for you to pray. Mother Teresa, I thought it was, her dryness for 47 years. It was only in her last few years that she really felt a connection with God. Okay? And yet she did all that good work. Right? Amazing. One of the things that I found as you go through the spiritual dryness is go read the lives of the saints. You get them, they're really short, and they're longer. Above the lives of the saints, that's like 1 or 2 pages per saint. So it goes into greater depth. Okay? And I find that is a great way to pull you out of that dryness. When you see what saints did, you see what their lives are, that would pull you out. Okay, so that's so much for the piety part. Let's take a look at study. Okay. Two good starting points, or St. Francis of Sales and Directions About Life, that's the one that I really recommend. If you read a lot, you might find it disturbing. But my grandson, I gave that book to him to read. I read it when I was probably 17 or 18, and it had a big impact on me. So I thought, oh, good. So I gave it to him. He was 18. Okay, he's an avid reader. He says, I can't stand this book. This is horrible. Okay, because he's used to reading in the present style of writing, which is like newspaper, okay, all short sentences, and okay, whereas in this thing, one sentence might be half a page long. Right, so he really had trouble with it. But what's there is really, really good. The same nation's loyal spiritual exercise is kind of along the same lines, except a little, much more, much more systematic, you might say. I have not found that is nearly as helpful as Introduction About Life. Although I've enjoyed it. St. Jerome says that ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. So one of the things to study needs to be is the Bible. I say it's good starting points, but the Bible here actually is the zero. That's the best. Right? You want to know the Bible. Right? So when you're supposed to be reading in that plan, okay, the Bible should be part of that, for sure. Especially if you're not going to be like that. Some books are deeper. The Priesthood of St. Timothy really recommend Legend. That's my guy, Herbert Brown's book, Three Stages of Interior Life. That's the book about that. Three volumes of that fit. Okay. It's beautiful prose. Instead, I was reading Tanqueray's book, it's called The Spiritual Life, and Father Pollard, founding pastor here, was also my spiritual director at the time. I said, oh, I'd rather read Tanqueray's book, okay? So I had to read, because of the Three Stages of the Spiritual Life, and it's just, so many words, okay? I'd rather. And he said, reading Tanqueray is like reading the telephone directory. That was his comment. It's great for my engineering mind. Okay, it's all outlined. Okay, I got it, got it. No extra words. By the way, that you can download from EWTN. Church Electric, you can download from EWTN. It's free. It's been around for a long time. Okay. So, another practical book is YouTube videos by the Thomas Tech Institute. I just put my niece, I guess it is. She was saying, what can I read? You know, it helps my faith. And I said, oh, look at the Thomas Tech Institute and take a look at their videos. Okay. She looked at a couple of them, and she went down to Catholic College and signed up for theology. She's already a college grad, okay, but she signed up for theology because of the Thomas Tech Institute videos. They are fabulous, okay? They're about 10 minutes long, video, and it takes some aspect of our faith, okay? Primarily from the Summa Theologica, St. Thomas Aquinas, okay? And it explains it in ways that are really easy to grasp. You know, neat diagrams, okay? Not just talking heads. I don't know how many of you ever watched Father Mike Schmidt.
Bible in a year.
Yeah, Bible in a year is one of the really great ones. No, I have that. I do have the in the notes, I know. But he also has a bunch of, he has like 200 videos that are on practical issues. Okay? He's talking at the college, sophomore level.
He actually served as a chaplain in the University of Minnesota,
right.
And he has a lot of these videos, and I would recommend anybody who just recently got confirmed and also baptized to watch his video series called What's Next. So we'll talk about, you know, after the baptism, after Easter, and then what you should expect from the church, and then from your daily life, and then life will kind of transform, and then or probably just lower your expectation about people in the church. That's a very excellent series of videos. He also has his daily homily, and every Sunday he posts his Sunday homily on YouTube. If you go to Ascension, and you'll be able to find that. And a lot of his homilies are very practical in the sense that it's close to modern life. If you compare with Bishop Barron later. And you will see that Bishop Barron is more on the theological side, but then Father Mike Schmidt is more like, now in this modern day and modern world, that how we should see different things and then to respond to different situations. So it's very helpful.
And they're only about 10 minutes long. But it's very great for the practical. It's practical how to live the life practically. Father Robert Barron, I also like, okay, his big push is on the beauty of the faith, at least lately it has been, okay, that he thinks what's going to attract more people to the Catholic faith is the beauty of the faith, the beauty of the churches, the beauty of the prayers, the beauty of the sermon. If you ever listen to Scott Hahn's videos, okay, that's there, okay, he will say, like, I went the first Mass I went to. If you ever, his talk from the first Mass that you ever went to, his first talk, you know, he talks about it a few times, but if you get the very first one, that talk of his is really inspiring. Because he came in as a Protestant, okay, he sat in the back pew, just sat there, okay, and he said it was like the whole Bible, you know, put together in the Mass ceremony. He was just blown away by the whole thing. And that's why it became Catholic. That was the big push of Catholic. And that was just by accident. Anyway, that's happened to me a lot. Two of the guys that I talked to at Daily Mass, one of them was a Christian Scientist. I don't know if you know this guy or not. Okay, right. He was driving by the church. He said, what are they doing there? He came in there. Okay, now he comes to Mass at least once a day. Yeah. He's so enthusiastic about it. This is students will talk about, but it was the beauty of the Mass, the Catholics. Right. And the other guy
there's a guy who's a born away Catholic, and the same thing happened to him. Very close, those two are really close friends because it happened pretty much at the same time, and he came back to the church to get away from him. So, and that's what Bishop Barron says, okay? That, that beauty is going to test them. Another source is the Institute of Catholic Culture, which was actually originated here, okay, was now in the available online. I've taken some of the courses. One thing I caution about that, the course that I took was on the liturgy, and the priest said something that was, a couple things that were wrong, actually against the Catholic Church. Because the priest, yeah, the priest was, he was an Orthodox priest, not a Catholic priest, but Orthodox. So you have to be a little bit careful with, I'm going to take another course from that same guy, because it has to be what I want to be interested
Orthodox
in.
Orthodox or like Greek Orthodox or what Orthodox? Do you know?
No, he was, I'm sorry, he wasn't Orthodox. He was,
like the Eastern Rite?
I mean, all of his references were from Orthodox, though. All the references were from the priest himself, I think, was just the Byzantine Rite.
Oh, so it's not.
But all of his references in it were Orthodox, and things were wrong. And he followed what he was going to read. Okay. So you have to be careful a little bit if the priest is not a Roman Catholic priest. You listen to that. But they're really well done. Extremely well done. You all have the faith explained, right?
The
book?
The Holy Spirit's perceived.
Okay, you all got that. Right. I think that's a beautiful explanation. And then the involvement of Catechism, I don't know if you've ever looked at that. That's online. Okay. That's a question and answer thing. So it's easy to memorize. I was, I guess he was a Protestant, going on the internet and said, is there any Catholic can explain to me the faith, you know, from beginning to end, you know, to guide me through it? I was the only person that said yes. I can't believe it. You know, I thought he's going to inundate it with people, so I said, well, I'll do it. But, you know, it's like me, one of the Valley Million. But I was the only one who responded. So I, we exchanged emails. He was in Alabama. So we exchanged emails back and forth for about 3 months, okay, where I answered his questions one by one. And then after that, he said, you know, I just found Baltimore Catechism. And I was looking at that. He says, and that explains all of my questions, okay? And I looked at this question, because we'd already been through a bunch of them. And he says, and so the next question, I said, okay, gave me that answer. Well, yeah, but how about, the next answer, that was the answer. Well, yeah, okay, how about that? And he says, it's in the same sequence of my thinking. Right. And you know, the faith explained is in that same sequence. Same sequence as all was happening. But the thing is, because it's a question and answer format, okay, it's easy to memorize what the answer is. But he became a Catholic, thanks to the Baltimore Catholic. Okay, so those are some study things. Okay, how about action? Okay, so love is outgoing, right? The more you love God, the more you love others, the more you're going to do things for him. Okay? That was God's love itself. It was the outpouring of that that caused creation. Okay? Right? John 3:16, God so loved the world, okay, and that includes you. Okay? It gave the Son. And individualism, which is so common today, okay, I'm separated from people from Jesus. All of these, I'm spiritual but not religious or something like that. Okay? So they've isolated themselves. They don't have this. The groups to talk about, they don't care partners, they don't think they have care partners, actually. But that is really focused on themselves rather than on God. Okay? They really don't have to be alone like that, okay? The individual. It's causing a lot of problems today in our society. Okay, so what kind of things do you do, okay? We talked about that. Love God, needs to love the neighbor. Okay. The Catholic faith that you have is a gift from God. You should have a love, share it. Stick your neck out. But you guys are really in good shape for that. You just say, oh, I converted to Catholicism. Okay, that's all you have to say. The rest of the conversation will flow from that. You don't have to worry about it.
And remember that God will give you the words to say. I took you into the people at the nursing home. Well, it's a secret living center. And when I'm driving there, I said, I don't know what I'm going to say to these people. I mean, I have no idea. I said, okay, God, do you want to give me the words? And somehow he does. He does give me the words when I get there. But I have no idea what I'm going to say to them. I know their stories now. They've been doing it for a long time. The thing about Catholicism, right, is it explains everything. Because it's what God has handed down to us, okay? And so we know his plan. We know how he works. We know, right? So we have that in sharing our faith. We know that the church has the answer, the faith has the answer to everything, okay? Theology, philosophy, anthropology, okay? Explains it all. Okay? It's the only thing. This is why it appears my engineering thing. In fact, I'm always amazed to find an engineer who's not Catholic. A lot of engineers are Catholic. Okay? Because it is a complete system, it's logical, it fits together, right? And one thing that this difference from science, a lot of scientists are not Catholic. Okay? Because they want to find the ultimate thing fully explained. Okay? But as engineers, that's not how we work. We do the best we can. Okay, we don't know exactly why steel works that way, okay, but I know that it works enough, right? And so it's good enough for me to know that it works right, okay, and I don't have to know exactly why, right? So same with the Catholic faith, okay, I know that this is how God works, I don't understand it fully, but I know that it works, right? So it really appeals to engineers, I think, that way. And of course, in dealing with faith, the text, okay? In fact, it's Scott Hunt, so just because you love your neighbor, you love God, you love your neighbor, that leads to sharing automatically, okay? It does mean you're sacrificing your time and comfort. When you tell somebody, directly, like just becoming Catholic, okay, you're opening yourself up to lose. Some of your time being taken away from you by this other person. Okay, so you're sacrificing your time. The chemistry for Christ always had a great thing. They said, make a friend, be a friend, bring a friend to Christ. There's this one woman who's has a lot of trouble with Catholicism, quite frankly, not over to the senior living center. So my first scheme was to become her friend. So gradually, that's where I stay. I'm still working on that. But my whole idea is minimum to bring it to the faith. So I'm working on that. One of the effective ways of doing this, to get the friend involved, there was a friend of mine that I knew was Catholic, woman, okay? And I met her husband. Her husband was really anti-Catholic. He was a Baptist. He fought her tooth and nail on a lot of the Catholic things, especially devotion to the Blessed Mother. He was a Baptist, okay? Blessed Mother's not involved in it, okay? So I started praying for him, well, for her and for him, yeah. From her and for him, 20 years ago. Probably it's been that long. It's about a year ago that I met her in the parking lot. I almost didn't recognize her because she didn't recognize me, but we were much older. So I asked her how her husband was. And she said, oh, you became a Catholic. What? She got him involved in the church and doing charitable work. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that brought him in. Because he was doing the charitable work in the Baptist church. Okay. And then he saw, oh, Catholics do this too. And so, he converted. I was amazed that it happened. Okay. But that's how she did it. She got involved in the church. Bishop Sheen had a story that he told this woman came to him complaining about the Catholic Church. She was Catholic, but she didn't want to have anything to do with it anymore. And he said, go get involved in some Catholic charity, and come back next year and we'll talk to you. And she came back to tell him she had become Catholic and come back to the church. Okay. So get him involved in something. Okay. They're giving to others, so they're learning how to love. Okay. And that automatically kind of brings them to Christ. Okay. Basically, we've got a great thing in faith, so pass it on. Seven sacraments, okay? Baptism, giving your Catholic life, confirmation, lateral life. Well, we're about that. Matrimony, your married life, all yours, and your peace of life, knowing you're sick, you're getting out of your life to that, okay? So each one of these, each sacrament is a springboard. It's the beginning of something, okay? That's a springboard into the deeper faith, right? So, and then you guys are probably in 1, 2, and 3, okay? And then we got penance to sustain it and Holy Eucharist also. Okay? Those are the things that keep it going, okay? But the first 5 sacraments are the ones that are the ones that are to initiate, okay, the station life for you. So they help. Okay. The need for all this, right? Fewer people are now worship God. They have no purpose in life. That caused by depression, drugs. This is a way to try to overcome now with your faith. You see other people. Maybe you saw it yourself before. Okay. They think there's no, because they're away from God. I think 40% of people are atheists now. Okay. So a lot of people you'll meet will be atheists. Talked with somebody from China, an engineer, okay. I was consulting for the company, and she was the person I was consulting to. And we're driving along to lunch, and she said, You're a Catholic? So somehow or other it comes up in the conversation. My kids say that, you know, I'm the common denominator there, that no matter who I'm talking to, somehow or other religion comes up. So she's like, I thought anybody involved in science wouldn't be, you know, could not believe in God. So we had a little conversation in the car. I don't know. That was a fun time. Consulting contract was going on purchase, that thing. So I don't know what long-term effect on it was. But because they're away from God, okay, there's no reason not to cheat, steal, kill, right? If there's no God, there's no purpose to life, then, you know, you're good, right? Fiddle and Macbeth. Shakespeare has, right? Life is a tale told by idiot, full sound of fury, signifying nothing. And that is a common thing today, right? 40% of the people that think that way. Except they think that, okay, I got to grab for all I can, okay, because there's nothing else. Okay? And then when they fail, they commit suicide. Now I know what I did. All right. Okay. So, what you can do, okay? Get a Bible, of course, if you have one already. Or a prayer book at work. I think that most places will allow you now. For a while, they wouldn't allow you to have a Bible at work. I think most places now will allow you to do that. There's a green incident here. I know that I always had a Bible at work. Just wearing a medal, Chris, absolutely. You want to provoke the conversation. You want people to ask him, what's that you're wearing? I have a little thing on my suit because I was here at the beginning of the adoration program here. I have a little thing I wear to the whole conference celebration and stuff like that.
Oh, what's that?
That always starts a conversation. So I'm wearing a medal, a crucifix, and just your willingness to talk about life. That this is how you can begin the conversation, get the conversations going. Actually, I had a Bible at one company. I was a creative engineer, and I had a Bible on my desk. And actually, the secretaries asked me if I would start a Bible study to the company. And it's 35 people in the company, very much. And I said, wait a minute. You don't want your boss to be leading a Bible study. Okay. Why don't you lead it, and I'll attend? But they said, no, we want you to lead it. So we had a really great lunch meeting with Bible ecumenical, when the people there, all different religions, they can compare translations and stuff like that. So it was a really, really beneficial thing. And actually, I think it did a lot towards the spirit in the company. It was an engineering company, so most of the people were engineers. So you can see what happens here. When I was at GE designing missiles that carried atomic bombs, there was people down in manufacturing started a erosion group, and we used to get together at noontime, and I attended the thing, I didn't have to do with the organization, but so at noontime we would pray that there would be no war. They would never have to use these things we were designing. But that was started just by that kind of thing. Okay. So also how you talk, the activities. The guy who talked about the Christian scientist, his wife said to him, I don't know what happened to you since you've been going to that Catholic church. She's a little Christian scientist. He says, well, whatever happened to you, I want you to keep it up. She's noticed the big difference in him. I mean, I've only known him since he's been in church, so I don't see any difference. But she has seen the difference in him just from that. So how do you behave? Stop swearing, start to move. just from your speech, your activities, your interests, okay, seeing that difference. When I was at Carrier Corporation, guy made a presentation in the middle on a technical thing, and he had pictures of nude women that would slip in there, right? I don't know if any of you ever guys come on that happened at GE too. So I went up and complained. Okay. They didn't do it. They stopped doing that. Okay. In fact, the guy had a joke that was a little bit off color. The leader would come to me and ask me, is this kind of a joke, okay? He said, so little things like that. I mean, I just asked him, look, are you going to show those things? I'm going to be out of the room, okay? Will you tell me you're going to do that? Okay. But instead, he changed. So some of your, activities actually do a lot. I was 21 years old when I did that. But I was really training for it. So little things like that. Okay. So if you look at how active do you have to be? St. Teresa of Lisieux, it's a little flower, right? It's cloistered, right? She has it called the Little Way. And that appeals to a lot of women, it seems to me, wives, or housewives anyway. There aren't many that are around anymore, I guess. But anyway, my wife really loves this, and a lot of her friends have when the women stayed at home and think about their work. that they really like this because it's something they can achieve. I got for a little while. You don't have to go out and do big things. Despite that, she's the patroness of missionaries. She never left the convent. Because of her prayers. Okay. St. Teresa of Avila was the exact opposite. Okay. She reformed the Carmelites, okay, ran all kinds of difficulties. She was out in the world, you know, founding convents and all, okay? And so she went through all, she's the exact opposite, you might say, of St. Teresa of Lisieux. And Mother Teresa of Calcutta was very much along the lines of St. Teresa of Calcutta, what she did. Bishop Hughes is another one, okay, who actually had active, this is active, right? He was conceived passive, but she was in the convent. This is still active sanctity. Bishop Sheen was about to be canonized. Mother Angelica, which a lot of people don't like, I can't stand to listen to her myself, but she did great work, right? The church has always talked about having a worldwide radio network, right? And every attempt that they made to failed. Yeah, and they made a lot of them, and they failed pretty early. She did it. Yeah. She was handicapped right from the very beginning, right? So she succeeded. Frank Duff found the Legion of Mary. If you ever want to read some inspiring stuff, read some of his. It's really fascinating. Basically, he went into the red light districts in Dublin. They cleaned them all up. And he did it by helping the prostitutes, but not only that, but going to the dams that were running the houses of prostitution and brought them, converted them, basically, and made them reform so the houses shut down. They tell me that they're all regenerated, so it's he started that in 1927. He died in 1970. where our society is right now, just look at it. They're the Ten Commandments and how each one is violated today. Okay, right. Ignoring God, that's the first commandment. Ridiculing God, seeking power and fortune, so God. Okay. All these commandments are being violated today by our government, by the governments, and by the public, okay? And St. Thomas Aquinas said that saving the soul is more important than contemplation. As we all strive for contemplation, but actually saving the soul is more important, according to St. Thomas Aquinas. To get another person to heaven. You know, that's the Islam idea, right? The Muslim idea. The Muslim idea is that, okay, if they're non-Muslims, that they are a temptation for the Muslim to convert.
Yeah.
Right? Well, it's better to kill all these other people than have one person go to hell. Because they think if they convert away from Islam, they'll go to hell. Mm-hmm. So they reason that, oh, wait a minute, if one of the other people converts, they'll go to hell. Well, it's better to kill all these other people. Because the other people are going to hell anyway. If you read, I studied Islam.
It's the religion of peace.
Muslim from Iran, and he gave me the books to read. That's how I studied. All right. So we need to save society, right? Okay. Now here's some things we need to do. Once you run for office. Okay. Then work for people who are running. That's my thing. I work for people who are running. Okay. Another thing is to meet with and befriend politicians. So I always say, as unsavory as that may be, some of them are pretty hard to like.
Well, maybe you can shoot them.
because a lot of them are power hungry. They love the prestige and power. Okay, I find them difficult to like. But I love them, I'll try to convert them. Donate to the campaigns, yeah. You testify for the school board, for the supervisors here. I think they are, this is the most had most influence in the East, at the least. Letters to politicians, to the editors. One thing about letters to the editors is that letters to politicians are ridiculous. I do that fairly often, and you get the standard answer. And some of them don't even address what the point you brought up. All they know is, in fact, I know a guy who volunteered at the White House to sort the mail was coming in. And they would, all they would do is they look at it, he would look at it and say, this is a group of people, but he was one of them. They would look at what the mail said, and they would say, okay, the issue is this, and is he pro or again? And he would pigeonhole the politician, never saw it, he knew the count. And being long-time physicians, they don't seem to worry about it unless it's like 100,000. You have to get through it a lot. But you can join advocacy groups, and learn the facts, which is often handwritten, and that's really important. But all of this, of course, you want to bring in, you try to weave God into that. But the success of what you're doing, you're still trying to save society, even if you're not bringing up religion to them. You're trying to make them act more open. So the success is up to God, But he always works through human beings, He worked through Moses, So you're his tool, just be a sharp one, that's all. So this is the way to set up, the priest instruct us, and then we need to go out to the work.
So can I add something, because I've been doing political, helping with political campaigns for a long while. So to be honest, the best way to help your community is to be involved into the local level, like the policy level, for example, like school boards or local candidates in your county, in your district. That's actually the best way that you can help your community. I understand that a lot of people will only vote every 4 years. A lot of people do not even know that every 2 years that we actually have a more local level, House of Delegates, and also, the Senate, the state Senate election. And a lot of you guys may not attend school board meetings, but think about, even you think that, okay, in the future, I'm going to homeschool my kids, why bother? Yeah, your kids are going to be friends with the kids who are actually being taught in the government school, and you need to be you need to monitor all the policies. And even you really don't care about school board, what about the locality tax policy, the property tax, and all of those things are all determined on the local level. And so if you don't really pay attention to it, you will easily get priced out, like a lot of people are right now in Northern Virginia. Also, I want to mention one more thing in terms of the letters to politicians. So I'm not here to tell you whom to vote for, but my personal experience is, even sometimes you think that, hey, this congressman is on the other side of the party, it's not the person that I voted for, but sometimes they do help, surprisingly enough. Like if you have some issue, and then you can call their office, and then they really do help. But again, quite a few of them probably they don't bother. But then some of them actually will help, and then they don't care about whether you're Republican or Democrat. And so why not try? It won't hurt. What else that I want to say? So donate to political campaigns is important, but I think really getting to know your community and then really to just get into the foot is probably the better way. At least from my experience, I get to know my neighbors pretty well, and then I get to know a lot of the policies very well. So I will encourage you guys to at least pay attention to, say, for example, your precinct, just that very, couple blocks, or even your district. And then know that, who is actually the supervisor of the county.
I'm a precinct captain. Being a precinct captain.
I was a precinct captain too.
And one of the things is, precinct captain can get the voting records. Because you never voted. So I have So all my neighbors, I know where they stand, and you know, then they can talk about it.
Oh, one more thing. Now I remember. So it doesn't matter which party, but if you really do like or dislike one of the candidates, it's very important for you to join the, like, you know, to get involved into the primary. So a lot of people complain that, hey, you know, this candidate is not the one that I want to vote for. You know, like, you know, the same party line, but that I don't like he or her. The better way is to vote that person out in the primary. But then right now we see that we have very, you know, like low involvement into the primary. And a lot of voters, once they know that, oh, these are the candidates that we have in the general election, and then they got upset. And then I'll be like, then why don't you get involved into the primary, and then you'll support your, the candidates that you like.
Yeah, one of the things about testifying in person is that short circuits the business that I send, if I write them a letter and it goes, it's going to go to one of their staff members, the politician will never probably see it. Like my friend who sorted things at the White House, okay? It was a letter to the president and he never saw it, right? Okay? So one of the ways of making it so that it isn't one of the staff members that responds, gets your letter and then, you know, pushes the button and sends you the form letter back. Is to testify in person. Then you know that your message is getting to them, okay? Because they're sitting there, they've got to listen, they do listen to you. They do not react, however, I can tell you that. I've done it a number of times, and they are there, stony faced. but they still, you, at least they're hearing you. But, you know, that, but. Okay. Another way of doing it. Is there a way of the internet? This is a really safe way of doing things. What I've done is I have two email addresses. Okay, because you have to, when you put in, you start an email, you have to tell them a recovery email, right? So I have one email address that I don't care about, okay? And so I made it, but I made another one that I don't care about, and they cross-reference each other. So the recovery of this one is this other one that has another connection to me. So you can do that. That's safe. Okay, I know I can't get bombarded because none of the reference are what real email is. So that works. Okay. One of the easiest ways to call is to get an email, come out and comment on it. Okay. And if things are really boring to you, okay, find one on LGBTQ things and you comment that you're against that, you will get 300 email comments. Okay. But they really are one ball there. Okay. But on the school violence, for example, you get something that's on the school violence, you can put, well, that's because they don't teach back on anymore, okay, that kind of thing. Okay. So you don't have to do any research. You just give your reaction to it very quickly. Okay, and that's actually how I got that guy that asked. You know, somebody explained the Catholic faith to me, right? I mean, it was just something on one of the social media things. And I don't know. You follow the business going on in Loudoun County, right? This woman, the mother in Loudoun County, got up to complain about the sexual books that were in the library for the kids, right? That became national, right? That story became national because this one woman got up and complained really strongly, for sure. I don't know if you ever saw that video, but it was they tried to shut her up, and she said, "Ma'am, you're not going to shut me up. I'm going to support them all the way." Okay, so that's but anyway, that's an easy way to evangelize. So, you know, be a saint now. You have to decide to be a saint. Okay. You've been confirmed, your mission has been moved to heaven, to your neighbors, to fellow workers, to kind of bring beauty to the Catholic faith. Okay. You have all that. Okay. Just be God's sharp tool in the background. Okay. So, follow what Mars do. Okay. Make a plan and be accountable. So you tell somebody about it. Okay. Otherwise, you stuff off. Okay. That three legs, find, study, and action on a personal level, society. And it's not going to happen overnight, right? You just inch by inch, grow the plan, be consistent. That's what Father Morrow says. Be consistent in it, okay? God will provide the power, okay? You must practice the virtue of hope.
That's one of the big things, is that to be consistent in this, you have to hope that what you're doing is good, being beneficial, is helping other people, okay? So you really pray the virtue of hope.
This is the psalm for today, okay? Today's Mass, okay? As the deer yearns for running waters, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord, my God.
I think it's my favorite line out of all the songs.
Okay, that's the end.
There you go.
Any questions?
The tire is sitting, but thank you for your contribution. Have you told other people you attended the church? Yes. Good. I don't mean your other Catholics. I'm sorry, your non-Catholic speech. Okay, good job. All right, put that in the prayer. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for the gift of the church, for the Catholic faith. We thank you for that you contact us so directly and so clearly. We ask you to give us the faith, hope, and charity that's associated with the dignity of goodness. We ask this in the Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, Fred. Thanks, everyone. Have a good night.